Hello, and thank you all for having me again this week. I apologize for the miscommunication last week when I was in England and missing the satsang. I just did the time zone math in my head wrong, so I apologize for that. But happy Earth Day, everyone. I hope everyone here got a chance to spend some time outside in nature and communing. Communing with Mother Earth, with our planet. And so I thought we'd start today, as we normally do, just by closing our eyes, taking some deep breaths, going inward, and so oftentimes on the spiritual path, we're always lifting our head, lifting our hearts up toward heaven. But this day, this Earth Day, I invite you also to bring your attention to the earth below. So I invite you to breathe deeply into your belly and feel the breath descending down along the spine. Through all seven chakra centers. And I invite the breath to go even deeper, to go below the pelvis, below the legs and feet, and into the very earth itself. And so I invite you just to bring your consciousness deep into the belly, just breathing in and breathing out. And then just imagine, just tilting your awareness downward. Just feel a sense of connection, a sense of communion. With the earth, with the planet, we're just breathing in and breathing out, feeling the strength of the earth, the power, the majesty. Breathing in and breathing out, letting go of the day, the week, the month. Breathing in, breathing out, letting go of any thoughts, and just giving ourselves permission to be fully grounded, to descend our consciousness deep below the feet. And so we're just experimenting together, noticing how great, how vast is awareness. Can we allow our awareness? Can we allow our sense of self to plunge below us? And to feel the strength, the quietude. The power and the majesty of the earth. So can you feel your pelvis waking up? Your thighs, your legs, your feet. Can you begin to experience the fullness of what you are? Beyond thought, beyond emotion, and even beyond the understanding of the energy body The seven chakra centers. Can we see that what we are is actually something quite incredible? And so, if any of this meditation is strange or bizarre to you, if you're only accustomed to focusing on spaciousness or heavenly worlds, I invite you to be humble, to be open to the fullness of what's possible. Right here in this moment. So yes, we're just breathing in and breathing out, feeling, experiencing. What is our consciousness like? Below the pelvis, in the legs, in the feet. What is our consciousness like as it extends deep below us? Into the earth itself. And so can you give yourself permission to feel what I feel? Experience this hugeness, this nobility. To be grounded right here. Right now. Can you give yourself permission to be touched by Mother Earth? Can you give yourself permission to see, to experience that what you are is much greater than what you've imagined yourself to be? So yes, we're just breathing in and breathing out. And we're inviting this humble power, this humble grace from the earth, to come into our body, to merge into our consciousness. To support us with a sense of strength, a sense of clarity. To support us in this depth of silence. And so together as we open to this experience, we begin to see that the earth is literally a goddess. Strong, powerful, awake, humble, vibrant, flowing with energy. And as we let go of our idea of where we end and where she begins, we begin to discover this radical intimacy. This radical Zen-like oneness with Mother Gaia, with nature itself. And So yes, we're just breathing in and breathing out. Letting go of everything. And fully experiencing this quiet power, quiet gentleness and love. So the more you breathe in this way, the more you allow your consciousness to descend into your hara, your pelvis, your legs, your feet. What you begin to notice is your body's waking up. It's becoming filled with this wonderful presence. And the mind, which is usually the center of attention, has naturally become quite quiet, quite silent. And so your job is really to breathe, to feel, to let go, to experience the hugeness of what's here today. The hugeness of what Mother Gaia is. And the hugeness of what you are. And so will you join me in this letting go? Will you join me in opening into the fullness of what we are? And if there's any confusion within you, I invite you just to breathe in and breathe out. To focus on the hara, the lower belly center. Just imagine that all you have to do is breathe in and breathe out. Connecting to, letting go into this supreme sense of silence and quietude which is here. But if you're sensitive, what you'll notice is that this silence, the silence of the lower chakras, the silence that you experience as you descend into Mother Gaia, feels like a deep well. Almost feels dark, grounded, rooted. There's a gentle power to it. It feels quite different than the silence of the third eye. So yes, we're opening. We're breathing, we're feeling, we're experiencing. We're connecting with the hugeness of ourself and the hugeness of Mother Earth. One hugeness, one grace. So, yes, just breathing in and breathing out. Just gently exploring. The lower chakra centers, gently feeling into the lower belly, the pelvis, the legs, the feet. Gently opening to and exploring your energetic body and giving yourself permission to notice who you are below your feet. Incredible silence, incredible power. An incredible grace. And so, yes, we're just breathing in and breathing out. Deep, full belly breaths. And gently notice again. The mind becomes quiet. We focus on deep, full breaths, deep in the belly, deep in the pelvis, deep in our legs, our feet, and even into the earth itself. How fortunate we are to be blessed with this grace this evening. Most of us have no idea what's available to us in this divine universe. But all it takes is individuals like you and I who are willing to be humble, who are willing to explore what's here, who are willing to let go of their current story or drama and fully descend. Fully descend into the hugeness of what you are. So yes, so I encourage you to take a couple more deep and full breaths. Just give yourself full permission to let go. Full permission to experience this heaven below. Full permission to become rooted in the depth and the power and the majesty of Mother Earth. And so hopefully by now you're just gently smiling as you experience this hugeness, this wonder. There's so many worlds available to us if we're simply willing to open, to let go. actually explore our consciousness, the consciousness of Earth, the consciousness of Heaven. All of this is just one great consciousness. And so, from this place of depth, from this place of openness, I invite you just to gently thank Mother Earth. Thank her for supporting us, for taking good care of us. And from this place of humility and gratitude, I invite us all together just to gently bow to her. To bow in reverence at her beauty, her majesty, her wonder. Thanking her for the food we eat, the water, the fresh air, the big blue skies, the big blue oceans. The wonderful forests and mountains, vast deserts, great plains, and so with that we can just gently bow our heads, say thank you, and with that if you like you can open your eyes. I'll transition out of the meditation and into the what I was going to speak about tonight. I have a lot of questions, and of course, if any of you have a question, please bring it forward. But in the spirit of Earth Day, you know, I think that it's appropriate that we begin to realize that we are the Earth. We are the earth. There's no line of division between the oxygen and our body. Between the water in our body. The minerals in our body. There's no dividing line between us and the earth. We are the earth. And so a great question we can ask ourselves is, how are we treating ourselves? How are we treating our inner ecosystem and this outer ecosystem? How do we treat the air, the water? Are we polluting ourselves and polluting our planet? Are we willing to take responsibility? And truly awaken. Not just awaken in some meditation retreat, but truly awaken in this world. Are we willing to become conscious of everything we eat? And the impact it has on the planet. Are we willing to let go of eating junk food or eating a heavily meat-based diet? And are we willing to instead eat lower on the food chain, which is inherently better for the planet? Are we willing to turn the heat down or the air conditioning down to use less fossil fuels? Are we willing to ride a bike, to work or to get around town? Now, are we willing to take responsibility? It's in the most basic way. Are we willing to spend more time in nature? Falling in love with nature, falling in love with our own self. Are we willing? And so these are great questions to contemplate. Great questions. My wife was telling me today that she said something like, each day there's 5 million straws that are just thrown away. I thought, boy, that's kind of crazy. It's pretty crazy how us humans live. How many plastic bags we use and just throw away. When we do this, it's like a slap in the face to Mother Earth. It's a slap in the face to ourselves and to the future generations. Are we willing to change our lives, to take responsibility? Are we willing to be the change in the world? Again, these are great questions for us to investigate. This morning, my wife and my little daughter, Ani, she's just turned 4. We went to an Earth Day parade, and everyone had these signs and protesting and this and that, and and it gets a little bit silly, it gets a little bit political, and there can be this thought of just blaming others. The vegans want to blame the people who eat meat. The people who drive a Prius want to drive, want to blame the people who drive, the big dually truck with a whatever V8 engine, or the diesel truck, or the guys who use solar power want to blame the coal plants. But blame is not the way forward. The way forward is for us to take responsibility, for all of us together, to work together, to cherish our planet, to love our planet, to worship our planet as a god, for she is a god, an incredible god, who does nothing but provide for us. And so now's the time for us to wake up and take responsibility for our life. And so, so thank you all. Happy Earth Day, everyone. Happy Earth Day. I hope you all got to just spend some time in nature. And of course, even if you are in a big city, you can practice this meditation where you just connect with the earth. This last week I was in London, and there were so many people in the city, and I thought, oh boy, I just want to go. I want to go to the park, So I went to, I think it's called Regent's Park. It's like the Queen's gardens. And just spent the day, I spent my day in London walking around in the park, looking at all the flowers and the trees, and just connecting with the beauty of Mother Nature. Excuse me. Okay, yes, so there's a lot of questions I have. And yes, so here's someone who says, Vishla has a question. Can we talk through the microphone? Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Now, someone might have to educate me on how to do that, but I think I just release the mic, and then you pick it up and you can ask your question. And so we can try that real quick. And of course, if you can't figure that out, then I'll just get back to the other questions. But maybe it'd be good if if we had the ability to pull this off. So let's see. I'm going to release the mic now to you.
Hello. So wait, can we have like a back and forth conversation this way? Okay, so you're via text. Okay, cool. Okay, you know what? Maybe I should just say like over or something when I'm done. Yeah, you know what? I'm done. Over.
Well, what's your question, my friend? I didn't hear any question there. So go ahead and ask your question. So I'll release the mic again. So ask your question, and then and then I'll listen for it, and then I'll go ahead and answer.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I just making sure this whole mic thing's working out for us. My question is, first off, thank you so much for your talks, your videos on the chakras. It's just so accessible and not, how do you say, new agey. So thank you. And I have been listening to your videos repeatedly on the Hara chakra. That's the one that's really been it's been lit up for a while now. And yeah, it's your videos have helped me to kind of explore them a bit deeper than I'm used to. And yeah, my first question was really on the sort of, I don't know, what are the more, how do you say, the more, I don't want to say animal aspects, but I do feel like from the Hara comes, a lot of, say, jealousy, possessiveness, fear of death and abandonment. And I was wondering if you could also go into the more divine aspects of the Hara. And I also noticed a sort of link between when my throat chakras lit up, when there's a lot of, say, commentary, for example, almost all of it is linked directly to the Hara as well. And I was wondering if you had any, if you could make any comments on that. Thank you. I'm going to let go of it now.
Okay. Yes, that's actually a great question. And Vishla, I want to thank you for being brave and taking the mic. You're the first person who has. I've taught this this class for, I don't know, for a long time now. So thank you. Yes, that's a great question. What you have. So let me make sure I get it right. So when people talk about the chakras, there's basically three levels of each chakra. There's an animal level, which is like literally like the level of the chakra at the level of the species. So, say if we go down lower than the Hara chakra, if we go into the root chakra, the pelvis, of course this is where we have these intense animal drives for survival and for sex and reproduction and this type of thing. So in regards to the animal level of the excuse me, Hara chakra, is it's more related to like a deep sense of survival. And so there tends to be a lot of fear in this center. In fact, I like to think of the Hara chakra as like the first seat. The first place where the ego kind of comes alive, because as soon as that umbilical cord is cut, you could even see it in a baby. There's almost like a shock there, and right away they'll feel this sense of, oh no, like I'm an individual. I'm an ego. I need to protect myself. I need to learn how to breathe. And so, there can be that, even just very animalistic kind of thing there. And yes, and so, as you rise, as you continue to work with that chakra center, there's human experiences, like very, very many human emotional experiences, like you described. It can be anger, jealousy, rage, oftentimes tend to come forward out of the Hara. But as you begin to open to it, even more, and try to discover, well, what is the true nature of the Hara? It's like everything in this world is evolutionary. Everything is growing and evolving. So everything has lower aspects and higher aspects, or the potential for higher aspects. And so deep within the Hara is this incredible silence, incredible power, and an incredible fearlessness. Now, the only way you get to this is through embracing, through loving all the lower aspects of that chakra center. And so, to open to, say, the heaven world of the Hara center, you have to be willing to face existential fear, like literally the fear of death. The fear of death, the fear of isolation, the fear of separation. And if any of us ever spend any time in meditation, like a great deal of time in meditation, you meditate on the Hara Center, some of us will come into contact with just like this existential scream, like a scream like no, or just like a hellish scream. And there's a feeling there of being abandoned by God, alone in the universe. And as you open into that fear, it will begin to feel as if you are like literally free falling through space. And if you are kind of crazy, like me, and you say, I want to know what this is really about. I want to know if you're willing to stay with it instead of running away, because your egoic nature will tell you just to run away from this experience. I can even say that I dreamt of this experience for many, many years. I would just have these just like blood-curdling nightmares of just free-falling through space. Even when I was quite young. And then as I was older, when I was around 14, I started meditating. It took me many years before I opened to this place and I found this existential terror as I opened into it. You know, at first I started to, you know, turn pale. You feel like the ground's falling out from under your feet. But as you open more, you begin to discover this incredible experience of what the Buddha called groundlessness. Groundlessness. It's one of the great qualities of awareness, is there's no ground to it. So people think of spaciousness as like going out in a horizontal fashion from their head, from the third eye chakra. But the way spaciousness is experienced in the Hara is it literally feels like the ground's falling out from under your feet. And there are many times when I literally look down and I touch the earth because my experience in waking reality is that of the ground falling out from under you. Now, as you open into it and get comfortable with it, what you begin to discover is it's incredibly liberating. Incredibly liberating. It's like so exciting. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster all the time. I say that, you know, with a big smile on my face. It's thrilling to live in this way. It's literally the experience of infinity. Infinity going downward, exploding in every direction, you know, 360. Incredible expansiveness. And it's the falling away of fear. And of course, the awakening of fearlessness. And so you had this great question. You said, well, how does this relate to the throat chakra? The throat chakra is one of the seats of the superego. And so the superego is going to do everything it can to micromanage this experience. I mean, that's what a superego does. It says, don't go there. Don't open that door. You'll get in trouble. Oh, that's scary. Let's just keep that door shut. Let's continually repress that feeling. And so, yeah, you may experience all kinds of weird clenching in your throat as you open to this Hara Center. You know, most of us know this. You know, maybe you even just had this experience as you grab the microphone. You may notice like a clenching in your throat of like, oh, am I allowed to speak? Is it okay to speak? Is it okay to be here? You know, and see, that's the superego. It's trying to just, you know, make you safe, which is, in a sense, it's a good thing Like if we were in Syria right now and there were people shooting at us, or people, we were the civilians and there was, we were in the middle of this war zone. The superego tells you, duck, don't go outside. Just stay inside. Wait till the gunshot, gunfire is done. But the thing is we are not in Syria right now. We're not in a war zone. We're not being chased by a saber-toothed tiger or mountain lion or whatever it is. So we rarely need our superego. Most people, their superego gets really worked up when they're at a job interview or going to give a speech or whatever. But there's a different invitation here. An invitation to trust your gut. The invitation to know that you belong here on planet Earth. That God made you. God made you and wants you to have a full experience of being divine and human. A full experience. You don't need to censor yourself. You don't need to hold yourself back from the fullness of experiencing of what you are. We don't have to live with fear. There's healthy fear when you go rock climbing. It's like, yeah, that's a good thing. That's what the ego is meant for. Healthy fear when you're in a war zone, that's a good thing. Healthy fear when you ride a motorcycle. Keep it between the lines. Be safe. But in the rest of our life, we don't need to walk around with this clenching in our gut, this clenching in our throat. And so, yes, can we open? Can we open both and see what happens? One of the other ways that the Hara chakra and the throat chakra are connected is deep in our Hara we have these animal desires, animal drives. This could be the seat of rage. For most people it is, and oftentimes they don't even know it. But if you ever get really angry, you'll notice your belly is burning, your solar plexus are burning. Your stomach oftentimes gets upset. Or if you have to give a speech, your stomach, there's butterflies in the stomach. And so what the throat chakra does is it just gently represses those energies. There's this fear within the throat chakra, if I open up and truly relax, then all those Freudian drives will come forward. And I'll just scream at people and, want to rip people's heads off, or, this rage will come out, or I'll, say something totally inappropriate. And I think we've all had this experience is when we open the throat chakra and give ourselves full permission to speak. Sometimes, if we haven't really worked with our ego, if we haven't really let go and healed some of those big wounds, there's tremendous energy. And that throat chakra, it clenches and it keeps all that energy repressed so we don't get in trouble. But part of the practice of meditation is being honest, honest about what's within us, working with those feelings, meeting them with love, allowing them to empty out. And as we go through this journey, then we can live in a way that's actually free, not just transcendently free, but truly free, like free to be human, free to experience this incarnation fully, free to experience the power and the fearlessness, the truth of what we are. Not many teachers talk about this because it tends to be a pretty messy journey. A lot of teachers just like to focus on heaven and things that are simple. But for me, the question was, how do I be free in human form? How do I be free and be a father? And I always had this fear that haunted me, like this existential fear. And I said, I want to know what this is. Is it true that everything is God? When you open to fear, you discover that fear is simply the experience of infinity. Infinity. This groundlessness forever. When Buddha spoke about impermanence, it wasn't just some little thing that, oh yeah, everything that has a name has an end. It's more than that. Impermanence is also the experience, more fully the experience that everything is beginning and ending in every moment. If you ever open to infinity, it feels as if you are dissolving and forming, like the entire universe is dissolving and forming every second, every millisecond. It's quite disorienting. And so what the superego does, what the throat chakra does, is tries to keep everything together. Tries to keep your egoic sense of reality together. Because there's this fear, if I truly let go, I may not be able to organize reality. I may not be able to understand reality. But if you want to know God, if you want to know what you truly are, beyond ego, well, we have to let go of ego. And so that's the price you have to pay. You have to let go of ego and trust that there's something greater, even if in the beginning it feels quite frightening, quite scary. And so, yes, this is a great question. Something I spent years of my life investigating. It took me many, many years of opening to this. It wasn't just like one moment and then it was all clear. Years and years of opening to fear, to public humiliation, to existential rage or sadness or whatever it was, before that belly actually loosened up. And then I discovered what was truly there, this deathlessness, this indestructibility. So yes, beautiful question, my friend. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. If you had a second part to that question, you could type it in if I missed anything. But the big thing you might look at is there anything within me that I'm afraid of? Is there anything within me that I fear? And meditate upon that. Open to that. And the beautiful thing is what you'll find is the very things you're afraid of are actually God in disguise. All is God. All is God. It's the greatest teaching. It's a beautiful question. Thank you. Okay, so here's a question from Murray in South Africa. He wanted to ask me if I have any issues or problems with mental exertion. He said he once had an awakening with some friends that allowed him to intuit, and he was in a state of balance and piety. However, it soon was just a phase. And so ever since that experience, he's been trying to get back there again and again. But through the trying to get back, he's been having symptoms of stress, panic, head pressure, anxiety, grasping. And all these other kind of things. And so yes, oftentimes when we sit in meditation or when we're on this path of awakening, God gives us a glimpse. A glimpse of our true nature. And what he said here was basically his mind became quiet and he was able just to intuit. And yes, that's how the true mind works. So if you think of the animal mind, if I'll go back to those three levels of existence, the animal mind is just drives. All the thinking is just based on drives. The human mind is thinking based on like strategizing, egoic behavior, thinking things out. It's based on the causes and conditions of your birth and your education and all that. But as you step into the divine mind, you don't really think. Like, I rarely think. If I have to think, like I was actually doing some building work today, building a I had to build another room on my house to put to give myself a bigger office and my children another bedroom. So I had to do some thinking today. I had to do some math. I had to really think things through. Just some regular logical thinking. And it was hard for me because the way my mind works is to me it's just intuition. I don't think. It just, whatever the thought is it's there. It arises. There's not competing thoughts or there's just one thought. And it's simple. And so, yes, my friend, Murray, the big thing I'm going to tell you is to relax. If any of us want to get in touch with intuition, the first thing we need to do is stop, relax, and come into the heart. Stop, relax, come into the heart. Listen to the quietest voice within your consciousness. And what you wrote here is that there are symptoms of stress, anxiety, panic. Because the mind is trying to grasp at the awakening. The mind is trying to do the awakening. The mind is trying to do intuition. And the more you do that, the more stressed you'll feel, the more disconnected you'll feel. What you're looking for will not be found in the mind. What all of us are looking for is in our heart, this quiet, gentle, loving presence. Let go of the thoughts. Come into your heart. Come into your heart. And if your body is feeling very anxious, if your mind is feeling very anxious, comfort it. Invite it to relax. Tell it to let go. Remind yourself, it's okay. You can't make a mistake. You can't make a mistake. Even if it feels like you are, just relax and come back to the truth. Okay, beautiful question. A friend of mine, Nathan, he had this experience. Nathan runs this wonderful podcast called The Thought Hackers, and he started to open. What he calls like a Eckhart Tolle experience of absolute silence, absolute nowness. And he went on and told me it's so beautiful what he's experiencing. And then at one point he just gently asked, he said, "What's the value of this? Like, what's the point of this?" The funny thing is about spiritual awakening is, when we have an ego, we think it's all about us. The further you walk on the path, the more you realized this is God waking up in me as me so that I can be a servant of God. It has nothing to do with us having these wonderful experiences. It has every, that's just a byproduct. That's the byproduct. Like what I was speaking about with Vishla. This experience of fearlessness, this experience of infinity, is to be shared. When you're fearless, you can sit with pain. You can sit with pain. Not only your pain, you can meet all of your pain and meet it with love, but whoever comes into your company, You sit with them and you meet them with love. If you look at Christ, his realization wasn't about him. His whole life was a life of service. If you look at the life of the Buddha, everyone thinks, oh, he's enlightened, he's so lucky. When you wake up, you spend the rest of your life working for others. That's the point of this. To share, to open. To be a movement of compassion here on the planet. It's not about us having our own private Eckhart Tolle experience. It's about us being a conduit of grace. When you open to silence and your mind finally falls away, what you begin to discover is that God's thoughts are moving through you, living through you. And God's thoughts are not, oh, I want to just sit by myself and be alone for the rest of my life and have my own private heaven world. No, God's thoughts are, I'm going to love and be a service and aid the sick and the poor and the afflicted. I'm going to sit with people in pain. I'm going to meet them with love. And I'm going to share this silence, this beauty, this wisdom. Not in a goody-two-shoes kind of way, but in the most silent and compassionate way. And so the value of our own awakening, the purpose of it, is that a service. Is that a service? And most people, they get on the path because they are in pain and they want to free themselves of pain. But that's just the warm-up. That's the warm-up. Once you begin to free yourself, well, you have, 7 billion other people, or 9 billion, however billion people there are, to free. But we're not doing it from ego. If you haven't noticed, God is one giant movement of evolution, one giant movement of growth, one giant movement of awakening. And this awakening takes place millions and millions of ways, not just in the head, heart, and gut. But we can awaken and awaken to be better communicators with our children, to be kinder with our loved ones. We can awaken to how we treat the planet. We can be more conscious of the food we put in our belly and the impact of our diet, what it has on the earth. A while ago I saw this video of a chicken farm, and I just saw millions, like it seemed like millions, it's probably, half a million chickens in one barn. I thought, this is not right. There must be another way. And so people are waking up to this. And they're saying, yes, there's another way. Let's treat animals with respect and with dignity. Let's treat our forests with respect and dignity. Let's make love with life, with the earth. Let's rest in her beauty, her wonder, her glory. So thank you all for these wonderful questions. Thank you, Vishla, for your question and taking the mic today. That was fun. So I encourage others to take the mic in the future. We pulled it off. We figured it out. I want to thank you all, everyone who's offered donations and who've supported the satsang. Those are very helpful. And I hope that you found something useful today. I hope your heart was open and received something good from our time together. I feel incredibly blessed by you all, so thank you all so much. Yes, thank you, Cesare. It's good to see you too. Thank you all for showing up. Thank you for sharing your hearts with me. Thank you for blessing me with your goodness, your radiance, your glory and divinity. May peace be with you all. And may you all have a wonderful night or morning or whatever time of day it is for you. Peace be with you.